As the kids are headed out, feel free to turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22. This is the passage we'll be looking at today. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called out to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Welcome. Welcome to my home. My name is Isaac, and I am glad you were all able to come. I'm only sorry that my wife, the lovely Rebecca, is not here to be with you. It is just the two of us that live here in this great palace of a home. We have no children. Even though I am middle-aged, we still have no children. It's much like my father. I know some of you know about him. His name is Abraham. But I can tell you that even though I've lived a while already and still have no children, I do not worry about it. No, I am confident that God will give us a child. I'm as confident as the day I was born. You see, I was what some of you might call a miracle baby. I was promised to my parents, but you'll never believe this. My father, when I was born, my father was 100 years old. Yes, and my mother, she was 90 years old. Some of you teenagers, you think your parents are old? I'll tell you what old is. Old is when they're so surprised that you're born, they name you Laughter because it's so absurd. Old is when your parents are older than your friend's grandparents. Now, it was amazing. God had promised to my father that he would have a child. And even in his old age, God was faithful. And so I believe that the God who kept his promises to Abraham will keep them to Isaac as well. But that's not the main reason that I am so confident in God. It's not the reason that I called you here. I called you here because I want to tell you about an incident in my life. In fact, it was probably, well, no, not even probably, without a doubt, the most significant event in my father's life. When I think about it, it was certainly the most significant event in my life as well. My father came in one morning early. I was still asleep, and he woke me up. He said, Isaac, get ready. We're going on a journey. So I brushed the cobwebs from my head and struggled to get up and get ready. And there was my papa. I was just a little boy then. And he, with a couple of the servants, were ready to go on a journey. I had no idea where we were going to go, but my papa always, always had a purpose. So I knew, he knew where he was going, and the donkeys were saddled, and so I was ready to go too. I noticed the donkeys were loaded with firewood. I wondered why the firewood. I thought, oh, well, perhaps we will be gone and need to make a campfire to keep away the wild animals. But it sure seemed like we had a lot of firewood. The thing that I noticed most of all was my father. It wasn't like I normally saw him. Normally, my father was happy, and it would, even at his old age, he seemed to have a spring in his step. But this day, he was distant. Even as the sun rose in the sky and it got brighter in the daytime, still his mood was very dark. I wondered what was going on. What was going through his mind? We began our journey. I didn't know where we were going. But I was always, whenever we went on trips, the joy for me as a little boy was to hear the stories my papa would tell. He was so full of stories. It was amazing to hear his stories. One of the stories that he liked to tell, he always told when my mother, Sarah, was around. He'd say, Isaac, look at your mother. Look at her. Isn't she the most beautiful woman you've ever seen? And as pretty as she is now, he's like, do you know? She was even, if you can believe this, she was even more beautiful when she was younger. He said, Isaac, you may find this hard to believe, but before you were born, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, wanted to take your mother for his bride. She so captivated him. But God wouldn't allow it, Isaac. He had something planned for us. It was you. And he would tell me stories of battle. Those were some of my favorite stories. It was amazing, the things that my papa had done. He told that he engaged in a battle with he and some of the servants. And they actually fought off kings and routed an army. My papa. And as he would tell his stories, it was always fascinating to hear what God had done through my father's life. And he was always quick to say, it was all God's hand. God has been so good to me, he would say. I have been blessed. Abundantly blessed. And he told me a story of places that were destroyed because of their wickedness. Those were stories I didn't like to hear quite so often. And I always felt like he wanted me to behave a little bit more when he would tell those stories. But that day, as we were traveling along in this journey, there were no stories. My papa had very little to say. He just had a distant look in his eyes. It was a look that I had never seen before. A look that I would not see again until not too many years ago when Ishmael and I buried our mother with our father Abraham. I did not see that look. I did not know that look as a little boy. But as I watched him, there was something heavy about his heart, something distant about his eyes. And I began to wonder. I wondered if perhaps my papa was mad at me. After all, the night before we left on the trip, there were chores that I had not gotten done. And I began to think, Papa's angry. So I went to my father. And I said, Papa, are you angry with me today? And I still remember his words. He looked down at me, and as I looked up into his eyes, I know I saw a tear. In fact, he looked away, and he brushed the tears aside, and then he looked back at me, and he said, Isaac, you are my laughter. You are God's promise to me. How could I ever be angry with you? And so the journey continued. The third day, it just seemed like we were going at such a slow pace. It was as if my father were in a funeral march to his own death. I did not understand it. But there on that third day, Papa caught a glimpse of a mountain. It was obvious to me that this was the destination that he was anticipating. It was where he was going. Papa always knew where he was going. So he stopped and he told the two servants who had come with us. He said, you stay here while Isaac and I go up the mountain to worship. And then we will return to you. It's funny how words get said sometimes and you hear them and you don't notice how important they are. I didn't realize when my father told the servants that we would return, that those were words of great faith. I didn't understand where we were going, what God had called my father to do. He simply said, we will go up to worship, and then we will return. And so, Papa loaded me up with the firewood. A little boy carrying wood that weighed seemingly more than I weighed. And we began the trip up the mountain. Every step seemed so difficult for my Papa. I just wondered what was going through his mind. What it was that was so weighing him down. I must say, since I was carrying the firewood, I didn't mind the fact that we were going pretty slow. But as we walked along, I realized Papa had a knife. Papa had the fire. I had the firewood. Where was the sacrifice? It wasn't like my father to forget anything. He organized things, and I found it very odd that he somehow had overlooked this. So finally, when we came to a place to rest, I said, Papa, I have the firewood, you have the knife and the fire. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? My Papa didn't answer right away. Just looked off in the distance. I wonder what he was thinking. Then he turned back to me and he said, "Do not worry, Isaac. God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice." And then he got up and we proceeded on up the mountain. I did not understand what this worship involved. I had no idea what God had called my father to do. Of course, had I known, I would never have made the trip. But God had told him the thing that was most precious in his life, the thing that his life had centered around. God had said, "Abraham, I want you to give it to me. Could you do that?" I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you love God, or do you love his blessings? Fortunately, that's not the distinction that we often have to make, because we all love God's blessings. But that was the question that God was asking my father. "Abraham, I have promised you so much. I've promised you offspring that will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore and the stars in the skies. Abraham, I promise to make of you a blessing to the whole earth. And it's all going to come through your little boy. And Abraham, I want you to give him to me." Do you love God enough to let go of the blessings that he gives you if he were to ask you to do that? That was the choice that my father had to make. And it was not an easy choice. 3 days we traveled. 3 days were involved in this decision. It was not a spur of the moment, "Oh yes, I will follow." It was a decision that was made and remade countless times with every step, with every day, with every second that passed. Every step was a decision. to follow God. Every second was a temptation to not follow. And still, we trudged up the mountain. When we got to the top of the mountain, my papa began to build an altar. He was so slow. I just found myself wanting to help him, but he was carrying these rocks that were far bigger than I could carry, and he brought them over and he stacked them one on top of the other until he had built an altar. And I looked into his eyes, and there was just something that I had not seen before. Fear was in his eyes. And it was at that moment that I too became afraid. I looked up to my papa. I said, "Papa, why is it that you're so upset? Papa." Before I had a chance to do anything, he had grabbed my hands and he had tied them together, and then he quickly tied my feet. It was a chore that I knew he didn't like to do. I didn't know what he was doing. But I knew it was deadly serious business. He picked me up and he placed me on that altar that he had made. And as he stood there over me, I thought of his words. "Isaac, Isaac, you are God's promise to me. You are my laughter. How could I ever be angry with you?" And then I looked up and he had a knife in his hand. I closed my eyes. The next thing I heard was a voice that said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on your son, your only son. Do not harm him. Now I know that you will not do anything without giving him to me first." Almost immediately, my papa pulled me off of that altar and put his arms around me and untied me, and he held me for what seemed like hours and didn't seem long enough. As he held me, he said, "Isaac, Isaac, God had called me. He had told me that I was to give you to him. You were to be a sacrifice to him." I did not understand why. I still don't understand why. "But Isaac, I love you more than you'll ever know." And we heard a noise off to the side, and there caught in the thicket, in the bushes, was a ram. His horns were caught. And this old man, my father, got up faster than I'd seen him move in weeks, and he grabbed that ram and he pulled him over and he laid him on that altar where I had been, and he sacrificed that ram in my place. And I realized this was all somehow God's plan. And my father said, "We will call this place Jehovah Jireh, the place where God provided. Because God has provided a substitute." And for the first time in days, a smile came across my father's face, and he and I began to laugh and to sing and to celebrate. And then we left the mountaintop and went back to the servants. My father and I returned to the servants, just as he had told them. My father believed that God would provide, and God had provided. There were so many things about that story that I learned, but two that stood out to me that I hope stand out to you. There are times when God, who though He knows our hearts, still asks us to praise Him, to worship Him. He knows what's going on inside, but still He asks us to respond. Sometimes God asks you to pray. God knows the end from the beginning. He may already have the blessing that He has planned, worked out for you, and yet still He asks you to respond, to pray. God asks us to be obedient and to worship, even though He knows our hearts. We are responsible for the choices that we make. And the test is sometimes simply a test of whether we'll let what's inside be expressed outside. But the lesson above all else that has changed my life is trusting God. Can you trust God when you're not sure of His blessings? Can you lay down His blessings simply for Him? That is what He asks for us to do. Oh, He is a God who provides, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who blesses, and He has poured out His blessings in abundance to my family and to me. I could never repay all that He has done. And yet what He asks of me and He asks of you is not that we would trust the blessings, but that we would trust Him. Can you do that? Shalom.